Are you an athlete tired of annoying injuries holding you back from peak performance? Then this podcast is for you. Here we share our expert opinion on hot topics of physical therapy, injury prevention, sports performance, and sometimes other random thoughts. I'm your host, Dr. Ells. Welcome to the Charlotte Athlete Podcast. Welcome back to part two with Mike and I, as we dive into the conversation of can you prevent injury and kind of whatever else comes to mind. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I've been very careful in how I approach this. And I think Dr. Ells has too, whether it was by, effort or not. But so then, like I mentioned earlier, we treat a lot of major injuries, right? So we're talking long-term. Something goes drastically wrong. You tear your ACL, you pop your UCL, you tear your labrum. I mean, it could be anything, but we're talking structural damage, tendon tear, ligament tear, even pec tear. It can be such a massive muscle tear that it does require surgery. With sports, and I think this is a common question, is this stuff that we're trying to pick up on to make you more efficient to move, does that prevent major injury? And I'm going to have Dr. Ells take the first stab at it.
I mean, you can do your best. I think of it as like you can, I tore my UCL throwing javelin my sophomore year of college.
That's the elbow.
That's the elbow, yeah. The pitcher's elbow. I just decided to do it with the spear. And for me, like I had true compensations going into that. I was early in my javelin career. I was trying to throw further. And honestly, the key word trying to throw further was probably more of my issue. But if I were to have someone pick up on those things and probably lead me in the right path, I don't think I would have done it so soon. I think that was like, if I were to be like, okay, look, I'm missing, external rotation here, or I'm over rotating there, I'm not strong enough through here, whatever it ends up being, I don't think I would have popped it, a year and a half into me throwing javelin. I think I would have had a longer career. Now, would it still be on the table? Of course, because everyone leaks, right? Everyone has these compensations that do pop up over time. It may have just taken, 1,000 more reps for it to happen. Because I think if I weren't to, we talked about my nutritional status in college, and my sleeping status, like if those things were also regulated, in my opinion, I think you could avoid those. Now, that is a more specific thing than, skiing down a mountain and your ACL pops because some little kid.
Well, yeah, but right. Like traumatic. So it's yeah. So traumatic. No, that's that inherent danger of sports. If you play football and you take a helmet to the knee, like, and your ACL goes, like, there's not a thing in the world. You could be, look at Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Like, he literally ran himself out of the league because he was so strong, mm-hmm. right? Like, his strength couldn't protect him from something that traumatic. And that's. So no, like those things aren't always preventable, but are there things that we can try to prevent? Yeah. And so let's go back to Dr. Ells's UCL. So just when we talk about javelin, arm's supposed to be straight, right? As you throw it for the most part.
Yeah. Right? Depends on the coach, yes. Yeah.
And so you're only going to pop the UCL if there's like a minor technique flaw of where the elbow bends and you kind of get a lot of that layback. And so... And a lot of people do that to try to get a little more leverage and get a little more distance. And so, if you have ideally a perfect world, you have all your energy leaks taken care of. You've progressively overloaded like throwing, and like you started slow and built it up, and you've built all this. And it sounds really bad, but chronic fatigue is actually a fantastic thing to protect ourselves because our bodies will adapt. So the more chronic fatigue we create, the better we are at that task, right? This doesn't mean overworking or overtraining and just running yourself into the ground, but with a certain task, so throwing, for example, a lot of people get injured early on in the season or in spring training because they haven't built this chronic fatigue up over the course of the season because they've been in the off season. And so preventable, I'm going to go ahead and say no, but in terms of like soft tissue injuries, so we're strains, minor muscle strains, ligament sprains, all that stuff. If it's not traumatic or it's not contact, a lot of this stuff we can start to avoid, and you end up having better performance because you're cleaner, you're more efficient, your body is better prepared to handle. And I think it just goes into like, that's why it's so important to have such a good group between your, positional coach, right, on technique and mechanics, your strength coach on building up strength and conditioning in a fashion for your sport, because I'm big red flag for that of I just got super strong at squat, bench, and deadlift, but that translates zero to baseball, right? None. There is no...
Especially bench press, right?
Yeah, I mean, huge. Like, even let's throw some reverse lunges in there. No, we're just doing straight squat, right? And that's, you know, looking back, like, that's for me. I wish I would have paid a little bit more attention to the rotational and, like, unilateral work because I didn't. I just kept it all squat, bench, deadlift, and it's not beneficial. So, so strength coach side and then the PT side, right, is we need to have a knowledge of all three, right? We need to know what are good mechanics. We need to know what is strength and conditioning looking like for you and your sport, and then come in with our little minor tweaks. Cause like we said, we shouldn't be changing anything major, but we take our minor tweaks to your strength and conditioning, to your mechanics. And all of a sudden we're moving better, we're feeling better, and we're performing better.
In that case, we'll be preventive. No, I was kidding.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Ideally. But yeah, prevention is a funny word because, unfortunately, nobody has the crystal ball of prevention.
Oh, yeah, me looking 20-20 to my elbow. I didn't know my elbow was going to pop that day.
Yeah.
No. And no one else knew. Everyone knew afterwards because it was loud, but not anyone knew. So, I mean, like looking back at it, of course, I would say it'd be preventable because I wish I could. But I mean, I knew I had issues with mobility. I knew I was a different type of athlete than probably the javelin required at the time. I didn't adapt all the way. But yeah, I mean, picking up those insufficiencies that I had would have been better, but probably not fully preventable because who knows how hard I would have pushed it if I had more range of motion.
And would you have even worked on it if somebody told you?
I don't know. That's back the other then, thing. I was and very stubborn.
A nice 19-year-old mind of like, oh, they're telling me this is wrong and I should do these things to get better. And
yeah, I'll do it next week.
But I feel fine, so...
Yeah, maybe. So it made me making that a little bit more of a bold and underlined thing in my program would have been, I don't know. But again, this is 2020 hindsight. So like when you're talking about recommendations for athletes and like creating a routine, because, you know, for me, there were certain things that if I were to have done, like we talked about, like it may have prevented me from having such an injury, that early in my career, it might have pushed it out a little bit, which would have been nice because it was during my conference finals, very inconvenient. I PR'd on it. So it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, like having some kind of routine where you actually, you know, give it back, give your body a chance to succeed. Cause again, we talk about the efficiency. It doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be, you know, a thousand things. It's like focus on a couple things, get better at them, let your body adapt to them and then move on. Like continue to build.
Yeah. And I mean, it still goes back to the individualized thing, right? Like I've now in my, you know, older years played with sleep. Especially, and you know, playing with what's my ideal amount of sleep, because I definitely can sleep too much and be too tired, or I cannot sleep enough. And so, you know, it's things that you almost have to test out yourself. But finding, you know, when it comes to routine, obviously nutrition, we want that to be as routine as we can, but that's always up in the air with life and everything like that. But finding your non-negotiables, and for me, and again, if I would say, looking back as an athlete, it would be sleep. It would be the specific mobility that I need. And me personally, I don't need a ton of work to get like muscles working. I need all mobility. So there was quite a bit of mobility work that I should have been doing to help keep like the hips healthier, the shoulders healthier, and then having that be a non-negotiable every single day. And it just sets your day up for success, both on the nutrition side of things, which can be highly variable, as well as then like in the weight room, at practice, performance, all that stuff. If you have this rock solid personal routine, that goes a long way to help you being successful in whatever you choose to do, even if it's now just showing up to work.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. This routine is nice. You'll probably be dependable. Everyone knows where you are when you're supposed to be there. And also after like, you know, having your routine is like understanding how your body reacts to stress and like not necessarily living. We talked about like living that red or that high RPMs, you know, all the time. That's something that I've dealt with and trying to decide like how I want to lift and how I want to like be, because I do have other things in my life that are stressful to me. It doesn't have to be a bad stress, not a distress, but maybe a eustress, but it still takes up, you know, energy from my ability to go in the gym. And I like kind of more or less picture myself as a, now I'm air quoting here, professional athlete as best I can. You know, I want to keep pushing the gym. I really enjoy it. It's like something that truly relaxes me, which is odd. But like, I can't go in the gym day in, day out and expect to push the limits day in, day out and expect good results. Like, it just being in that red, not actually recovering, which may not be as fun of a day for me because I like to push it and, you know, see if I pass out a little bit. But like, having those times where they're true, almost recovery days, are still moving, or even taking a day out, like going in every single day to the gym, is not all that beneficial.
Well, especially when it comes to like overtraining, right? Like if you're, you know, there's, especially you can find anybody that wants to write you a workout plan for anything you want to do, whether it's logical or not. My personal favorite is the upper lower with three leg days and two upper body days. But one leg day is like quads and calves, and then the other two are hamstring glutes. And it's like, yeah, you can do that for a little bit, right? You can have an anterior posterior day on the legs. But again, we're talking three. If you're hitting three leg days with any sort of intensity, like, you're going to fizzle out on that pretty quick. Like, you're going to feel horrible. Yeah. Not to mention, you have to eat and wake up and work. And if you're stuck at the desk to work, and then you're going to try to then hit legs 3 days a week, like, you better be doing some crazy recovery stuff or sleeping really well.
Yeah, or doing exogenous stuff.
Yeah, to be able to handle that. But yeah, you know, it's like knowing, setting a goal and knowing what you want your body to be able to do, I think is step one.
Yeah, because right? I know a lot of people also like, I want to be sore. Like, that was their intent of going.
Yeah, well, that's the only way they got a good workout, right?
This is the variable that I judge my work off. You know, if I'm sore or not, and that's like,
and the amount.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't sore enough. I was only sore a little bit.
And it's like, okay, well, that's a silly goose way to say that. But also, there is a difference, true difference, between working out and training. And I think that's something that people need to know. It's like, okay, getting in a workout could be anything. It's just challenging to you. Like, for me, you know, one of my deepest fears is someone forces me to lunge a mile. Like, that would be incredibly challenging to me. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. No one's really peer pressured me that hard, but like, that would be a workout. It would not be training. It would be nothing helpful for me to do any of that.
Punishment.
It's a true punishment. And that's how I always saw a conditioning part of. Anyway, but that would be like a workout. Now, training has an intent. You're like, okay, for me personally, me as Els, I have an Olympic lifting meet this year that I'm on the board if I'm going to do it or not. But if I were to do it, that's the day I need to be better at what I need to do. So I should probably minimize the things that are going to take away from my, you know, outcome and really focus on what I need to do. And that would be training. Or let's say someone wants to get super jacked. You know, like, putting on a lot of muscle, you had to train for that. You're not just doing random workouts and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm jacked, in my opinion. Now, I think there's some genetic freaks out there that might be the...
But they still, I mean, you still can't take away what they do. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. They may have the genetics that predisposes them to that, but then the ability to go in with a calculated plan
and
put that muscle on.
Yeah.
And it's not random. It's still not done randomly. Yeah.
And that's what I mean by training. It is calculated. It is premeditated. Working out could be an accidental thing, like, you know, running a bunch of stairs or something like that. So when I talk to people that are like, hey, I just want to be really sore, it's like, okay, well, then just do things that you're not good at, honestly. That'll get you really sore. Good things that your body is not adapted to and do it a bunch of times. But if you're training, soreness really shouldn't be all that regular, I don't think. I think you should be able to adapt. Sometimes you push the envelope and you get a little bit of a soreness, you know, outcome from it. But it's not necessarily like every time you go into bench, like every day, you're like, holy crap, you know, the next day. If you're trying to get really good at bench, you should be able to withstand that. You know, Mike talked about that chronic fatigue state. Like, to get better at it, you have to do it a whole bunch of times, but you shouldn't be like having an issue every single time you go in.
Yeah, and I think we're diving deep into mental skills again.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that we don't even know a ton about. But yeah, no, absolutely. You have to be able to do what you're trying to do. You have to be able to repeat it, but you can't. You know, if you're killing yourself to where you can't lift your arms every time you do an upper body workout, right? There's no way you're hitting that again later that week. And if you do, I wish we could film, because you could even show like the super adaptation phase of what we're trying to get to, in terms of like how our muscles respond to exercise. But like, you never reach that peak super adaptation. And I love the phrasing for that.
Yeah, because, so great.
It really is that is you get, there's a point in time after a workout where you're ready to work out again and you're going to get better. But if you don't ever reach that peak in general, the trend is a negative trend versus mm-hmm. a positive trend. And you're actually going to get worse and worse and worse. And we see it all the time. And that's where you're at. That's where you're at plateaus. That's where you're at pain. And then even just day to day, you have no energy, you're drained, you just, life sucks.
Yeah. And I mean, that also happens on the other end of the spectrum too. You don't do enough.
Yeah.
Your body's way too good at, you know, what you're doing. Let's say, oh man, I don't know why this one popped in my head, but like, no, I'm not gonna go there. But there's a lot of people that do the same workout every single day. They do 5 sets of 8, whatever, box, step ups, whatever, you know, pick whatever you want, but they do the exact same thing every single day. Your body adapted to it in the beginning. Sure, it was hard maybe one time or, I don't know, 5 times. But then it hasn't been hard for the last 6 months. You are no longer working out.
Yeah, well, and not to, to just shit on one major group, but, you know, we see this the most with runners.
Ah.
Right? Runners want to run, and they only want to run, and they will run faster, and they'll run slow. Well, sometimes they usually won't run slower, but they'll run faster and then walk and do intervals, and they'll do hills. But hills are not strength. Like, hill runs, yes, they will help you make you faster, but to a point, only running, you're going to plateau and you're going to overtrain that running. We have to be strong to run. And you, if you want to get better at running, we have to supplement it with something you're not good at.
Yeah.
Right? And because at some point, right, yeah, you can go run marathons. But if all you're doing is running, and on the same token, at some point, you're really not even getting that much of a workout anymore.
You just get too used to it.
Yeah, you're too good at it. Yeah. And you're so good at it, you can't get better.
Yeah.
You have to do something supplementary to get better at it.
Right, and also those supplementary things could be ironing out your holes, like especially with runners. We talk about the insufficient, you know, glute position they can be in, or, you know, overdoing in certain spots. Now, if you were to take that runner and then you do a whole bunch of strengthening for certain things that they're not good at, that's going to make you build your ability to run way better. You have more longevity. You have probably hopefully more miles and more speed.
Yeah, faster, especially. Yeah, right. That's the big one is, right, you can always add mileage, but if you notice like speed's tapering off, or the common one is, you know, if your long run's a 12-mile run and they're like, yeah, no matter what, on my long run, at mile 8, I start getting knee pain that won't go away, right? Like, it's not that there's something wrong with how you run. You ran 8 miles before you had pain. It's there's some sort of leak somewhere, and you're just breaking down a little bit sooner.
Mm-hmm. That's a way to pull those things out of there. So, like, what would your recommendations for all athletes, Mike? I know this is a very broad ask and very, you know, ambiguous question.
So funny enough, it's gonna be the simple things, right? It's controlling what you can control. And I think the biggest things coming out of it is that we've hit on a lot is, one, developing that routine. Right. Whatever you want to do, whatever, you know, let's just say you want to be able to squat heavy. Right. So for me, routine is going to be making sure that I've got the hips open. Well, first, as I slept. Right. I've slept. Sleep and nutrition are first and foremost. But then when it comes time to squat, right, like, I'm not just going to go grab a barbell and start squatting. Like, I'm going to make sure that the hips are opened up, make sure I've got my ankles moving, make sure that I can actually get into a squat, because it's 11:15 right now, there's no way I'm getting into a squat just hopping up from this chair.
It's nice and cold.
And so, and, you know, having routines for whatever it is you're trying to do. And it can be different. Like, the piece of the routine outside of sleep and nutrition can be different for whatever you've got going on that day. And then I think the biggest thing, especially for, you know, our like competitive, active, high school, college, professional athlete, right, that's going to be investing in yourself and then those people around you, right? Because your position coach, your strength coach, your PT, if you have one, their whole job is to make sure that you're getting better day in, day out. And if you don't agree with them, or you don't trust them, or if you don't like your hitting coach because you don't agree with how his philosophy to hitting, you're never going to be successful. And so, you know, whether you're a high schooler looking to go to college, like, that's why these college visits are so important, right? You're not just going to go to the quote unquote best college that offers you just because they may be Division One. You may be a better ball player at Division Two, because the coaching staff is one. They may treat you a little more like family. They may be a little more in line with your tools as a player. And so finding that team around you, and then doing what you need to do to develop that good routine. And I mean, you got to stick to it, because I know I can remember it so vividly. We had one guy in junior college. We had weights at 5 a.m. He was up at 4. Sticking to his routine. He was having breakfast. He was doing his mobility. His roommate was pissed because he was waking him up, right? But this guy had the routine, and because of it, I mean, he was very, very successful. And so he actually, that was back in 2010, 2011. He's actually still playing today. And his body, he rarely had injuries. Body was well taken care of, well fed, and just built for performance because he took the time, put in the effort, and built that routine. And then also found, because he ended up being a kickback. So he had gone to a 4-year university and then came to our junior college before transferring out again. And he took that step after his freshman year to find the coaches around him to develop his tools. And because of it, he was successful.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, also, like, taking the same vein, I guess, is, you know, set your expectations the correct way. I think if you stress yourself out about performance like I used to do, and I wasn't investing in myself and I wasn't putting what, you know, I needed to do at a priority level one, you can't expect, you know, you to perform like that. And if you know, I would get stressed out about negative outcomes of meets and stuff like that. And if I wasn't doing it, like, I can't have that expectation, which can, you know, put you in a better peace of mind. But also that makes you hopefully think that you need to find those things that invest in yourself, find those things that gives you the edge competitively at whatever level you are, and really take them seriously if you want to have a, you know, long and healthy and prosperous career.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, today was a little deep dive into a bunch of different things. We probably didn't go that deep into a lot of things, but, you know, kind of flying all over the topic.
Right, board. Yeah, just all over the place. Yeah.
We'll get back through with some more specific stuff later. We want to talk about baseball. We want to talk about, you know, how to be a better strength athlete, all the things. But thank you all for listening, and we'll get back to you in the next one.
Sounds good.